Well, here we are.
Howdy, partner.
We're here. Well, you're there. I'm here.
Our listeners are there.
You guys are there. But we're back a little later than we wanted to be because we got, you know, life stuff. But we actually, you and I saw each other in real life.
In like real life, my friend.
It was crazy. You looked basically the same.
Yeah. You on the other hand, have something on your face.
Yes, I got a birthmark. I grew a beard. Freckle. And I originally did it because, I mean, I've been working at home through the pandemic, and it looks as though my job has changed probably permanently. So I'll be working at home for quite a while, I think. And
me
so,
too. Me too.
Okay, well, there you go. And I was thinking, like, what am I shaving for? This is stupid. And it turns out that having a beard is almost as much work, maybe more, than shaving on a fairly regular basis. I only ever shaved like every 2 or 3 days anyways. But yeah. I tell you, you get a beard and suddenly, you know, no one tells you that, like, maybe one side grows different out of your face. One side sticks up more. There's always stray hairs everywhere that are very, it's a lot of work to have a beard. Yep. It's a lot of work to make it look like you don't care.
Yeah. Well, you know, why we saw each other the other day was, to celebrate my 36th, birthday. Say
yeah.
That under my breath.
We saw a movie, you know, in the theater, which was something I haven't done. I mean, I think the last movie I saw in the theater was probably Star Wars, Rise of Skywalker, I'm going to say.
Yeah, I don't even know. But you know, even at 36 years old, I was going to say, I still can't really venture into the beard growing world.
well, so, you're not missing much.
I mean, I have facial hair, but it's just pathetic if I try. So you, on the other hand, you're looking good with the beard. I enjoy it. And I mean, you know, you gotta have the Zoom calls still, you know.
Well, sure, so. Yeah. I think, you know, I don't know. The reaction has been mostly positive. My entire family prefers me with it. I told them I was going to get rid of it when it started to get warm out, and my son prefers it. My daughter prefers it. My wife prefers it. So it looks like I'm just stuck with it for a while. But
yeah.
Anyways, well. Thank you for tuning in to the Add More Mouse podcast. Thank you for listening to our beard moment.
Yeah, this is what we do.
Moment.
This is what we do. We banter, and I think you know, that's the charm that we bring.
Sure.
You know, yeah, we'll call it that.
That's about all we have to bring to any of these topics. So how, besides your birthday, which was very fun, what have you been doing Disney wise? Have you been watching anything besides your homework for this episode? Or
yeah, well, you know, you mentioned how we went to the theater, and that is actually, you know, surprisingly, it's an activity we were able to do safely because you can rent out this private theater, and
yeah,
something cool that they've been doing, and you can choose from either new movies or classic movies, and I chose a classic movie that was not a Disney film because but you know, it's still fun.
Hey man, it can't all be Disney.
Yeah, the movie Clue. Super, super fun.
Which is a great movie. It I hadn't seen it in so long. It was a Comedy Central staple when I was a kid. Like, it was on all the time, but I really didn't remember it very well. I remembered the multiple endings, and I remembered the characters and what they looked like, and I remember kind of the pace of it, but I really did not remember really any of the jokes or anything. And I think for the most part, it really has aged pretty well. I mean, you know, a lot of, you can go, depending on, you know, the movie, some of those 80s comedies have not aged super well, or they have sections in them that maybe are a little iffy. But I feel like that one's still good to watch. I don't think there's anything you would have to, like, explain to your friends or kids, like, now I like this, but you have to ignore this part, which, let's face it, some of our Disney movies, we have to say that. So
yeah. Well, so yeah, I mean, that was enjoyable, but I Disney wise have been, well, first of all, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
It's so funny. We started this podcast a couple years back, and I told you I wasn't into this whole Marvel universe, but after WandaVision, now the new one is this Falcon and Winter Soldier, and I've been hooked. And
interesting.
It's really awesome. I watched the whole thing, and you talk about how far we've come. They address some issues head on, some really sensitive topics of race and whatnot. And I think it's done really, really well. I really recommend it. I don't want to give a lot away.
Yeah. I really love awesome. It's interesting. I thought as a series, it was fine. But mostly because I thought the pacing was weird.
You watched it too. You saw it too.
Yeah. I'm caught up on it, and I found this, it's a superhero show, right? It's two superheroes who are teamed up and they're fighting bad guys. And I found the fighting the bad guys portions to be pretty boring. The action's good and like the special effects are great, but I thought the bad guys, I could never really tell what anybody's motivation really was. And I didn't really,
that was
the stuff I didn't love. I love all of the social commentary stuff, and I really liked. Yeah, I mean, the stuff about stuff about the race relations dating back to when Captain America first came on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
I thought all that stuff was super cool and pretty well done. So it's like it was a superhero movie where I found the superhero stuff to be the least interesting part of it.
Oh yeah, totally. I agree. And it's really funny you talk about motives, because I feel like that was one of my issues, when I talk about superhero movies, especially the Marvel Universe, because there's so many different backstories that you really have to follow, and you do kind of lose. I actually made that comment as well about this, because you kind of lose, like, okay, why are people fighting? What is this group? What is their motive against this and that? And so I'm totally with you on that. That sometimes is a little hard to follow. There is a really great cameo in this one. I don't want to spoil that either, because it was a surprise to me, but an actress I really love. She doesn't appear for much, but I love her, and it was cool to see her on the screen. But what about you? What else have you watched?
I've been going back and starting to watch again some of the, I can't believe I've been, as into Disney for the last, decade, and still have not seen every single animated film. So I'm going back and watching some of the ones that I haven't seen either in a really long time or haven't seen at all, which there's only a handful, but I want to knock them out. So I was texting you about Fun and Fancy Free this week, which is one of the early, very early Disney package films where it's like two stories put together. Kind of in the lean years when they couldn't afford to just make one long story. And then I introduced my son to a Disney XD show called Gravity Falls, which is one of my favorite shows. It's only two seasons. It's on Disney Plus, obviously. And if you've never seen it, you do not have to be a kid to enjoy it. It is hilarious. And it is also kind of like,
but like it's about a
brother and sister who investigate like weird paranormal stuff, and it's hilarious. It's really good. So I got my son into that, and we basically act the same age, so he might as well be my brother. So he loves it, and I'm really happy about that, because I've introduced him to some stuff before.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily Disney stuff, but like I'll show him stuff from when I was a kid just to see if he likes it. And he was pretty into Ninja Turtles, the original Ninja Turtles. He was into that. But I showed him Transformers, like the original first American Transformers. And I put the first episode on, and he was like, I thought he was into it. And he was just humoring me, because after about 10 minutes, he was like, can I change this? And I was like, sure, man. So whenever I introduce him to something that I really like and he actually likes it, I get happy. So he's really into Gravity Falls. And if anybody out there has not seen it, it's hilarious. It's so good. You should just watch it.
Very nice. Back.
For those of you who think you're above cartoons, you're not. Just go watch it. so yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I saw that there was another trailer that just dropped for the upcoming Pixar and Disney film Luca.
Yeah.
And that, you know, we talked about, you know, what's coming up here this year, and that was one of my my picks for what I'm most excited for. You know, I don't know if you've been to Italy, but I told you how
I have not. Italy.
Yeah, and it's one of the coolest parts of Italy, in my opinion, is the Cinque Terre, which is the five towns or the five cities, and it's around the coastline. You've probably seen the photos of them, and you know, you can already tell the animation that Pixar does so well is going to be captured here. It's just going to be beautiful and gorgeous and stunning. So it makes me more excited about it. However, I also saw a headline out there that some of the Pixar staff, you know, that they're not really fond of the fact that these films are going to streaming only. You know, I think that these this was a couple days ago. This headline came out at the time that we're recording, and basically they're saying it's hard to grasp, you know, working so long on these films and for so, you know, so hard on this, and then that it doesn't get to go to the theater on the big screen, you know. It sort of sidesteps the theaters. Same thing with Soul. So that's just something interesting read. I mean, I think I'd be interested to hear what you think. I mean, I think it's actually going to get, you know, sort of a bigger audience, you know what I mean? And they should be kind of, you know, excited about the fact that, you know, more and more families will be able to gather around the TV and watch this, you know, and I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Well, I can't speak to, look, I'm sure when you spend your time making stuff that benefits from having a certain presentation, you know, you want it to be present. I mean, just speaking as an amateur musician, right? It is kind of funny when like bands where we spend a pretty decent amount of money to go into a studio with good equipment, and we try our best to make this thing great, and then you realize that the majority of the people who listen to music are going to do it through like laptop speakers that sound absolutely atrocious.
So
I kind of understand where they're coming from, but also like, I don't know, you know, part of me thinks, you know, as long as you're making the thing and people get to enjoy it, I mean, that's the point. Just for me personally, all I can really speak is my personal experience. And I will say that having kids, you shouldn't use having kids as an excuse for like not doing stuff that you want to do. But I will say that since I've had kids, going to movie theater has been a thing that my wife and I just really don't do. Because they're already kind of expensive, and then you know you've got to find a babysitter and they're expensive, and it's a lot of planning to just go sit in the theater, and we don't really do that. And so if I'm able to see these movies faster, you know, I don't, anyways, as much as I'd probably like to, it doesn't really happen. I will say that I think that maybe they lose a little bit of anticipation. And so if a movie comes out in the theater and, you know, it's in the news as being like, oh, it's made all this money and it's kind of, it has these legs on it in the advertising and they continue to run commercials and stuff. It, you know, without that, maybe they get lost in the shuffle more. You know, if it's just another thing that appears on Disney Plus, it's another thing that maybe you just, can it more easier? I don't know, but I guess I don't really have any hard feelings. I you know, I'm gonna watch them regardless, so it kind of works out for me that they come out earlier on streaming, but I kind of understand people not being happy.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it's interesting because I guess you know, Soul just won the best animated feature at the Oscars, and they said the only reason why that was eligible was because the Academy Awards permitted movies that were planned for theatrical release that then were moved to streaming. And so then that allowed them to compete. But it's sort of unclear right now if that's going to be a rule again, and if they're going to kind of tweak those rules for the Oscars next year. So that's another thing. But I mean, yes, as viewers, as audience members, I think, to your point, it's a little different, but I could see how working on it might have other concerns and, you know, what's quantified for box office gross successes and then these awards and whatnot. So yeah, that definitely I can see from their perspective, but either way, that movie looks fantastic. It's June 18th. It'll be streaming. I'm excited about it since I'm a fan of Italy and a fan of Pixar. So there you go. But, you know, in movie theaters, maybe, you know, like we just went, as evidence to us, we're able to get back to them. And, you know, maybe more and more after vaccines get ramped up. And to that point, I did just also see that Disney is actually giving, like, you know, a bonus to their workers at Disney World if they get vaccinated. So that's
good.
A good thing. Yeah, and that's, you know, I've been reading a lot about that because if anyone out there didn't hear last episode of ours, Dave and I will be visiting next year.
Less than a year, man. Less than 365 days. Assuming the world doesn't catch on fire. I mean, parts of the world are still very much on fire, but our part of the world,
yeah,
hopefully seems to be leveling out a little bit. So here's hoping that in less than 365 days, we will be able to safely enjoy a trip to Disney World. Just crossing my fingers, hoping that, you know, things continue to go in the right direction.
Yeah. And there's supposed to be a Star Wars dinner show coming to one of the resort hotels down in Disney World as well. So maybe by time, it's like an immersive experience. That's coming. It's the Galactic Star Cruiser Hotel.
Yes. You know, I'm interested in that. I'm a little miffed because, you know, when they first announced Galaxy's Edge, it was supposed to be a completely immersive experience. And it is, except that it's not really to the level that they had said. That's kind of a longer conversation that we probably want to have about it. But, you know, they originally said things like, you know, all of there'll be no, you know, we're gonna hide all of the, you know, evidence that you're visiting somewhere. Like, it's gonna be like you were plopped. And I mean, look, I love Galaxy's Edge. I think it's awesome, but that is not that's not quite what it is. And it seems like they took a lot of that stuff and have shifted it towards this hotel thing. So now I'm kind of interested to see if they actually do follow through with that. So we will see.
Yeah, great. Well, what do you say, by the way, that we get into the topic today, which is our continuing our miniseries on Factor Fiction.
Third of four episodes miniseries. Yeah. I think I spontaneously called it and fiction, which actually is not a terrible title.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I pretty much just made it up as I was typing it into the podcast generator. So, what we wanted to do is, Disney is, just like many other movie studios since the beginning of Hollywood, constantly looking for real life stories that they can dramatize. And it's always not just Disney movies, but I've always been interested in movies that I see that are based on true story. And then looking up, you know, in the internet era, being able to instantly look and see, like, all right, how much of that story I just saw actually happened. And, you know, sometimes things stay pretty faithful, but most of the time Hollywood takes quite a few liberties because by the time it gets to a writer and a director and a producer, they really don't oftentimes care super straight with the facts. It's more about making an interesting movie-going experience, and most people's events in their lives don't follow like a traditional Hollywood three-act structure, so you end up creating characters and combining characters, and in the case of Disney movies, completely inventing everything that happens in them.
The last two episodes we did were Pocahontas and Iron Will.
Yeah, and to say these were based on a true story, I think, is an egregious stretching of the English language. I think they were probably inspired stories. That's about it. And today we are focusing on your pick, which is a movie I grew up with, saw many, many times. And unlike Iron Will, which I think I knew as a kid. It was based on a true story. I was very much aware that this was, quote unquote, a true story.
Yeah, no, I was not. Today's episode, Cool Runnings. I'm looking at it. It came out in October of 1993. I was 8 years old. I don't think I even knew what bobsledding really was until this movie kind of put it on the map for us youngsters. it's not something you see too often. You know, I hadn't seen too many Olympics yet in my life. And so this kind of introduced me to that altogether. And I didn't know it was a real story. And right when I was watching it, at least, it was all new to me. Either way, it was super entertaining for us as kids. I think we all loved the humor in it, and it became pretty iconic, pretty popular.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know, before we get into maybe what is real and what isn't in the story, I mean, watching it again, I hadn't seen it in a long time, long time, and it's a good movie.
It is.
It straddles a line every once in a while where, because all of the main characters are playing Jamaicans, and none of them in real life are Jamaican. So they are, they are doing an affected accent. And Dougie Doug, who plays one of the main characters, I was familiar with him because he had a show on that I loved at the time called, what is it called? I think it's called In My Neighborhood. And I'll confirm that. Hold on.
Dougie Doug became pretty big with Disney because not only this, in the 90s, he also did That Darn Cat and Operation Dumbo Drop.
Dumbo Drop. Oh, so I'm sorry.
He's one of those actors that they like, Disney does that a lot, even still. You know, they'll latch on to an actor and they'll have him or her be in a slew of movies of theirs.
Yes, I have to correct myself. He was in the ABC sitcom Where I Live, which was about his family coming over to America from...
What was it? I don't know this television show.
I loved it as a kid. Let me see. I should... I'm this learning. Is the... let me see. What was the... Where is his family from?
If it was Jamaica, that'd be funny.
So his parents were from Trinidad, which is from the Caribbean. So not quite Jamaica, but the same basic idea where in the show, he was the son of immigrants. And so, he's trying to be a typical American teenager, and he's got parents who have very different ideas of what his... Yeah. Childhood is supposed to be. It's a great show, and on ABC, so you can see where the connection to the Disney brand proper comes from.
Yep.
And his portrayal of Sanka in the movie, it's very reminiscent of Jar Jar Binks to me.
Of
course, Jar Jar Binks wouldn't come around for like another 6 years or something till 1999 in Phantom Menace. But it is a little hyper animated, kind of an outlandish Jamaican accent. But I'm not Jamaican, so I can't really say whether it's offensive or not. I don't think he's doing it as a caricature. I think he's really just trying to be the comic relief of the movie. Other than that, I mean, I think it was pretty good. Oftentimes will not sit through these assignments with me for our podcast. And I got her to watch it, and she really liked it. She thought it was a great movie.
Yeah,
she was. We are going to go into spoilers here. She was generally like, when they crash at the end, she gasped. She did not see that coming. Like she was
invested.
Yeah, she was like, oh my gosh, are they okay? They're not. Nobody dies, right? And the soundtrack is fantastic.
Oh yeah, for sure. It became popular. What was the song? I Can See Clearly Now. That cover of that.
The Jimmy Cliff cover. It was great.
That who it is? Yeah, that was like the whole it's feel good. It's feel good music. It is feel good movie, and it is very entertaining. I mean, even just rewatching it, I texted you while I was rewatching it because it was like I started it at 11 p.m. on a school night. And and it was like an hour and a half. It's pretty, it's and it was, it's a good movie, still holds up.
It is.
Yeah. And yeah, as kids, we rented it. I remember watching it at my friend's house. The beloved John Candy. I mean, this
you know,
his last
he's
film.
Really good in this movie. And, you know, it's kind of sad because, of course, as I was doing research after we watched it, like, you know, he passed away like less than a year after this movie came out.
Yeah.
Maybe less than a year than when it was filmed, actually. Because I think he passed away on the set of his next movie after this one.
Yeah, this was his final movie that at least came out while he was living.
Yeah. And he's just like, you know, you could see glimpses of him. Like, I was thinking, like, man, you know, he was very young when he passed away. He was like 43 or 44. And, you know, if you'd given him like another 10 years or so, like I could have totally seen him as a comedic actor who like later on in life had like a series of more serious roles.
Oh yeah.
He clearly had some chops that he was, you know, bringing out. He's still funny in this movie, but like he clearly was capable of a bunch. And unfortunately we didn't really get to see a whole lot of it.
Yeah. Yeah, being he was 43, and we mentioned him in our Pocahontas episode a couple.
Oh yeah,
because he was potentially going to be voicing a character, a turkey, of all things. But hey, yeah, he even did some of the voice tracks on that. But I think one of the reasons they led to eliminating that character was his death. Unfortunately,
and he was already he's already the he plays the albatross in The Rescuers Down Under.
True, he's a bird voice actor.
Yes, bring him in if you got a bird that needs a voice.
Yeah, well,
so Michael, let's dig into maybe what's real and what isn't. And
okay,
this is kind of. You're going to lead the way here. I did some research, but since this is the movie you picked, I'll let you kind of guide us. But okay. I will say that upon starting to read about this, it looks like this is more accurate than the previous two that we covered, at least in the overall ideas,
mm-hmm,
in
mm-hmm.
The broad, the general story.
Yeah.
But once again, the characters are pretty much completely invented.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so the story itself, I mean, the plot of the film is, you know, is it's just been 1987 when the film took place, leading up to the 1988 Winter Olympics. And until that time, there was no Jamaican bobsled team, which is not too surprising because, you know, that's the irony in the film is a bobsled team from Jamaica.
Yeah, they don't have snow or ice anything like that.
Exactly. So that did happen, though, that in 1988, they debuted a Jamaican national bobsled team. That is true. And what led to their debut in real life differs than what's in the film. They start in this film by showing some athletes, Jamaican athletes that were sprinting. They were looking to qualify for the Summer Olympics for sprinting, and unfortunate events occurred on the track, which, by the way, as a track runner in middle and high school, I can tell you things like this do happen every now and then, especially running hurdles like I did. When you take a spill on a track, it is not only doesn't only hurt you physically, it will bruise your ego majorly. So, but yeah. So what happens is while running, they take a spill and tumble into one another. So they all take a fall here, and that obviously does not qualify them for the Summer Olympics. So they're very discouraged, very distraught. And by happenstance, when they're airing their frustrations, they end up noticing a photo that includes John Candy, whose character name is what, Dave? Irv? Is that his name?
I believe it is Irv.
Irv. So they see a picture of this Irv fella, who was a bobsledder in America back in the day. And he it catches their eye, and they're thinking, well, what is this? I think they also didn't really know what bobsledding was. That was kind of the big thing. They end up getting inspired, basically. Light bulb over the head. Like, you know, that's what they should have, like, had superimposed here in the film, was a light bulb over this fella's head to say, oh, maybe we can, since we didn't qualify for the Summer Olympics for running, why don't we look into being starting a bobsled team?
Which I will say, you know, spoiler alert, all of this is invented for the movie.
Yes.
Which is interesting. I find it so, you know, I have to imagine that if you are, I mean, look, I'm going to disappear into the weeds of like thinking about how a human would react in this situation. So
yeah.
I can only imagine if you spend days and days and months and years running and getting better at running, I would guess that that's pretty much what you have your heart set on. Maybe for people who are generally athletic, they just want to be in the Olympics for anything. But it seems crazy to me that somebody would be like, well, this thing I've devoted my entire life to doesn't look like it's going to happen. I'll just try this other thing. I mean, maybe, I don't know. That seems, I guess there's probably other athletes who have actually done that before. I don't know.
Well, I will tell you that there is, I don't know if you're familiar with the Olympian Lolo Jones. She is
I'll take your word that that's a real person.
Yeah, Lolo Jones. She's a sprinter. She actually was on Celebrity Big Brother as well, and she was an American Olympian. I don't think she ever won a gold medal, but then she also became a bobsledder. She'll be in the upcoming.
I stand corrected.
Yeah.
What do I know?
But it's not because she hurt herself, and I think it's just because it could be a couple reasons. She may have kind of, you know, aged out of being
sure
the fastest runner, because I mean, there is that sort of that small window, but also there, you know, maybe she just wants to be in both Olympics. It's on her bucket list. So, Lolo Jones, look her up. American hurdler and bobsledder.
That's a crazy resume.
It is crazy. So, but yes, so this is not how this is how it's portrayed in the movie, but in reality, there were some American investors or whatnot that were living in Jamaica at the time that thought that, hey, why don't we start a bobsled team? And they pursued that there in Jamaica. So a little bit different genesis.
Probably not as interesting. I mean, a lot of times when you find out how these movies are different, my first reaction is like, well, I'd rather watch that movie. But honestly, I don't know that I would rather watch a movie with a bunch of, you know, I'm assuming white guys sitting around trying to figure out, you know, how they can use Jamaican runners to gain an edge in the sport of bobsledding. Maybe that'd be interesting.
Well, and again, the Jamaican bobsledders in real life were not also runners. So that's another manufactured part of this movie.
Really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, the two businessmen that were living in Jamaica, they were watching the local like soapbox or pushcart derby, and they thought in Jamaica, and they thought that was reminiscent of bobsledding, which it is, and that's how they started to get that idea. So there were not like these elite Jamaican sprinters
at least the pushcart stuff is actually in the movie. So
yes, it is.
You know, at least that idea is in there. So, you know, I guess props to the movie for at least trying to stitch together a few details that came from history.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's pretty clear why they created these characters, right? I mean, you want to be able to follow these characters through a movie, and if you're going to focus on the businessmen who thought this up, they're not the ones racing, they're not the ones, you know, probably really all that involved in the day-to-day operations of the team. So yeah, I mean, I can see from a screenwriter standpoint, you know, this is your in to like follow these characters through the entire journey.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a little, also a little kind of a bummer when you're as like, you know, I figured before looking up, you know, what was real, I was hoping at least like the, even if their stories were changed, I was hoping that the characters themselves were at least real. And
they're not. Yeah, they're, nope. Those were not their names. Those were not their names at all. And actually, John Candy's character didn't exist at nope. all.
No, and no. That's kind of the weirdest. Okay, so I'm glad you. I'm glad we are getting into this part, because this is a section where this is some typical Hollywood, like kind of inventing stuff from whole cloth and then saying based on a true story, because I did research this. So he, in the movie, there, you know, it's kind of this scandal when he decides to lead this young group of Jamaican bobsledders. It's because he had 2 gold medals and,
yep.
for reasons unknown to us in the beginning, he has retired to Jamaica and he like owns a bar and he's a bookie. And then we come to find out that he's been like ostracized, not banned, which is interesting because you'd think he'd be banned right. for what he's accused of. But he's like ostracized from the sport. They took his gold medals away because he was caught putting weights in the yep. front of his bobsled to make it go faster.
Yeah. Big so, old scandal. Big yes. scandal.
And clearly none of that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. His character was stripped of his gold medals and none of that happened. There was never the John Candy character. I mean, that scenario never happened in Olympic history with the United States bobsled team losing medals because they were accused of cheating. That is right. False. Which I think it's kind of interesting they tried to, because I don't know. I also was thinking this was real before researching. So that's I'm thinking, man, these shady U.S.
right.
bobsled, shame. But that never happened, thankfully.
Well, and I texted my dad while I was watching this, because he and I used to watch this movie all the time when I was a kid. And I sent him a message and said, like, hey, I'm watching Cool Runnings for the podcast to figure out, you know, what really happened. And my dad was like, I'm pretty sure it's all based on true story. And I was like, yeah, John Candy's character never existed. And my dad texted back, what?
Yeah.
And so here we are, you know, 30 years later, and people are still, you know, that phrase based on a true story, even though I think most people would admit that like Hollywood dramatizes things, I don't think people tend to realize they just invent entire characters for these kinds of movies. And that's kind of, I don't know, for the Jamaicans, I can see why they did it. They kind of yeah. pushed it with the idea of like, oh, let's put a cheating scandal in there.
Yeah, really. And another thing that just came to my mind that was not obviously real, given that there were some businessmen behind this rather than just some hope in a dream like in the movie, the whole montage where they're trying to scrape together some money to qualify for the Winter Olympics, you know, they're like singing in the streets and everything. So that was one of my favorite parts of the movie, because it was just such like a cheesy typical montage that you'd see in these films, and I enjoyed that, but I assume that wasn't real. And it wasn't.
Yeah, and this is kind of another example of if they made this movie today, I don't know that they would get away with just inventing these characters, because usually now, as part of it seems like if they were going to make this movie now, they would find the original team so that they could like trot them out for interviews, and you know, mm-hmm. there'd be a book that was coming out to coincide with it. Like, I think this was much easier to get away with back in the early 90s and before, and like anytime before the internet, because you couldn't just like, yeah, you could go to the library and maybe find a book, or you could look up an encyclopedia and try and get to the bottom of it. But like figuring out what was true and what wasn't, it was hard.
Yeah.
And most people aren't going to go to that kind of trouble. And so you just walk out of the theater thinking, wow, what a great story. I can't believe I never knew that's what happened. And then it turns out that isn't really what happened.
No.
So, you know, it, I mean, look, on the one hand, if you watch this as a fictional movie that has elements of real life in it, I think it's a pretty good movie.
Oh, for sure.
But yeah, and you can't, it's really, yeah. And then there's obviously, there may be some other stray details, but you know, one thing that I found interesting is that the ending is fairly similar to what happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, in real life, they didn't make the finals. So what part of the ending are you?
Okay. Well, so in the movie, you know, they one thing I know that they changed was that in real life, there were four runs of the bobsled. And in the movie, it's three. And like, that's a change you can understand they would make. Because like, four, that'd be fairly anticlimactic. You got to have like, you know, what they did was they had one terrible run. They had one amazing run that really, you know, propelled them close to the top of the heap, and then disaster strikes. And so that is a pretty understandable, like, narrative change you're going to make.
Yeah.
But in real life, sadly, they didn't have a single good run. Pretty terrible all the way through, and never cracked. I think they were like second to worst or third to worst out of like 25, which was the highest they got, which is not great. But you know, hey, kudos to anybody who makes it the Olympics. I'm not trying to, you know, poop on the 1988 Jamaican bobsled team, but it really was not a case where they really had anything to lose at the end. It was pretty foregone conclusion that it was not working.
Well,
go on, and then you can talk about the actual ending, what the events that actually happened.
Well, I was going to say about the crash.
Yes.
The crash was real. There was a crash in real life. It's just the cause was different.
Right. In the movie, it's a malfunction, hardware malfunction where, you know, we see them, you know, they've had a terrible run and a great run, and they'll win. We don't know. And unfortunately, fate happens and their sled breaks on the way down.
Yep. And it was not a mechanical failure. And I like how I call it research. It's not, I mean, you know, my Googling and all that stuff. It's not my
hey man, that's research in the year 2021. So
right. But I highlighted this because I thought it was funny. It says, in reality, there was no mechanical failure, and this team of random sprinters from a country with no ice who somehow qualified for the Winter Olympics crashed for exactly the reason you would expect, driver inexperience.
I saw something along those lines, too. And so, I mean, it's a dangerous sport. I read somewhere that the driver's helmet, fiberglass helmet, scraped along the wall for like 2,000 feet or something like that. Like it was insane. Everybody lived in real life. So it's, you know, there wasn't a tragic ending, but you can kind of see why they thought this was a cool idea and then Disneyfied it, because it's just like, well, let's see, four random dudes get picked because maybe they're going to be good runners and they're good at push carts. They go to the Olympics and totally stink and then crash. It's not an uplifting story. Where, you know, that's not the story they were going to tell, unfortunately. Although that I might actually, you know, in the right hands, maybe that is a story I would want to watch. That sounds kind of interesting. There could be sort of a humorous take on that, I think.
there could be. Yeah. I mean, listen, I think, you know, compared to especially a Pocahontas, I'll tell you, I mean, this isn't too crazy. I mean, they obviously added those elements to simplify the story and maybe, you know, make it a little more exciting. And I mean, I'm not going to be mad that they created a character so that John Candy could be in the film, because he's fantastic. So
he is great. He's fantastic. So, yeah, I think, I mean, even after we've gone through the details, I think my opinion is still pretty much the same, which is like, I think it's a pretty good movie. Would gladly watch it with my fam. But yeah, it's, I don't think I would tell somebody that it's based on a true story. I think I would say, yeah, actually, it's crazy that Jamaica does have a bobsled team, although I know in a few years they haven't sent one, but I think once or twice there hasn't been one that made the cut, but it still exists. Like I think in 2018 they had one.
Yeah.
And so, you know, yes, it's like they took an idea and ran with it.
Yeah. Basically. Well, and the, needless to say, then there was the whole drama in the film as well surrounding whether or not they would be qualified, and that then they were, one of the people who was judging that, or who was on the committee rather, was one of John Candy's former coaches and was, you know, there was some sort of, I don't know if you call it revenge or just a rift between the two. So he wasn't going to qualify the Jamaicans. Then John
right.
Candy talked to them, talked to him and say, hey, it's not them. That was me. And it was this whole thing. But obviously that story was not part of reality either. And yeah, I mean, we could pretty much simplify the fact if you just remove his character and anything about him, then, you know, but
if you distilled this movie into the elements that were actually real, it would just be a bobsled sitting in Jamaica. That's pretty much.
Right. Right. Think about this though, too. I had looked at sort of some of the casting and I don't know if you saw any of that.
I looked through some of it.
Yeah, just how what I always like to see that, like what could have been or whatever. They were looking at Kurt Russell instead of John Candy, and I'm thinking, thank goodness. I mean, nothing against Kurt Russell. I'm just saying that's a completely different type of character, type
well,
of actor.
Well, that's true.
You know
that's
what I mean?
True. Like he eventually does. He's in another Disney movie that is based on a true story, Miracle, which is like a hockey movie.
Oh geez, yeah. You know what? This we talked about this with a little bit last time, but there are so many of these, like, and not even based on true stories, but so many of these, like, from the '90s, especially Disney sports films. You know,
dude, there's a lot of sports films just from the last like 12 years of Disney's. I mean, there's a lot. It's like it's a whole whole genre for them.
Well, you think about, I mean, but I'm talking about like our childhood. I mean, the Angels in the Outfield and the Mighty Ducks. And I mean, what else? I mean, it was all during that same period. And I just think that, you know, that was, they all became really popular.
That's, you know, it's like they had the princess movies for the girls, and then they thought they could hook the boys with these sports movies, right? I mean, I'm sure that's what their thinking was. And because they've always long held that, like, you know, boys don't want to see princess movies, which I don't think is true. I think most adolescent boys won't say out loud that they want to watch princess movies, but I think they're, you know, when you see things that are classified as princess movies, especially in like the, you know, mid 90s, you know, they were blockbusters for a reason. If you're talking about things like, you could say, like, well, I don't know if you could say Aladdin was a princess movie, but you get what I'm saying.
Well, it is, but they just tried to, you know, name it the right. male character instead of Jasmine. Yeah.
Right. Or like Moana. Moana is a princess movie. That didn't seem to have any problem making a crap ton of money, although I guess you could also say The Rock helped with that. Anyways, this is a weird sidebar we've gotten into.
Yeah, sidebar, sidebar.
I'm going to wrap it up.
Well, one thing I want to say, though, about this, what is the over-under on whether or not this film's going to get a remake? Because I feel like every film,
I feel like if they remade it, I feel like they would have to, like, to use, like, a construction analogy, I think they'd have to, like, knock it down to its studs and start over again. I think they would have to, I don't think you can get away with a movie this dramatized when people can so easily figure, like, find out how little, I don't think people will let a lot of stuff go. If you omit some things, I think people are fine with that. You know, like remember that movie, A Beautiful Mind with Russell Crowe? He won the Oscar for Best Actor. That movie omits a ton of weird, pretty interesting stuff from that guy's life. But the basic facts of the movie, I believe, are there. And so I think you can omit some things and you can use the excuse that, like, well, there's just so much, we can't put it all into a movie. I don't think you could remake this without focusing it on the real people.
I mean, is what I'm saying. They definitely shouldn't.
Right. No, I don't see it happening. I mean, I think there's a lot of nostalgia for this movie. But yeah, I don't know. I don't necessarily see it happening. Although if they did it and they found a cool angle, I mean, I think it's a fascinating story. The real life story is very interesting.
Yeah.
Just much different than the one we got in 1993.
Yeah. Well, one last thing is when we were talking about the crash, I just wanted to say that there was real footage of the real crash used in the film's version.
Really? What?
Yeah. It said real TV footage of the actual crash was used in the film.
Wow.
But it was heavily edited to fit in with the film's version of the crash, whatever that means. So, you know.
That's interesting. Kind of cool. Did not.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Rabbit holes that we go down. I tell you, this is what Admiral Mouse is all about, guys. We love just like, you know, dissecting and going down rabbit holes and, you know, it's giving you the giving you those weird facts that you just were burning to know.
You didn't know that you needed to know.
Right.
Well, all right, man. I think I think we're ready to wrap up this mini series with one more episode.
Yep.
And we can always come back, you know, any of these mini series that we've done, we may return to, which is why we call them mini series, because usually there's way more movies. And like we just said, there's like, you can look up like top 10 lists of based on true story Disney movies. And there's multiple lists with that don't share any, any common movies. There's a lot. So I am picking for the next episode. And I think we're going to have a hard right angle here. And not focus on necessarily a big American history or sports. And we are going to take a look at the movie from, I believe, 2016 is when it came out, I think, Saving Mr. Banks. And so we are going to like break the fourth wall and look at a movie, a Disney movie based on Disney's own history, which is pretty interesting. And I'm not sure, I don't think they've ever done this before. Like, it's a movie they made that focuses on a dramatized portrayal of Walt Disney himself, which I saw in the theater and I've seen it since, and I really like that movie. And I did some cursory, like when it was over, you know, I looked up like what was different from the movie, and I don't remember it being anything too egregious, but I'm gonna get into the weeds on it, and so we'll see.
I think it'd be great. I mean, this one's like you said, it's checking so many boxes for us because it's behind the scenes.
Mary Poppins, Walt Disney. It's got the Sherman Brothers in it, who are just like two of my favorite Disney legends. I mean, it's going to be a lot to unpack, and I'm looking forward to it. And there's probably it came out fairly recently. There's probably a lot
of material.
Yes, there's probably a lot written about this movie instead of this movie. So we'll try and do our best in that episode to make sure we reference the other people who have done their research on this.
Yes.
We don't always do that. Sometimes we'll be like, I read an article and it said this. And we don't get paid for this. We're not professionals. What do you expect?
We finally left the 90s with our miniseries. And
we've been squarely in the 90s so far. Yeah. Hey, man, that was the Disney decade, man. I mean,
sure was.
That's a good one to be in.
It sure was.
So
Mr. Banks, it was 2013. Let's just
Sorry. Yeah.
That's okay. Fact and fiction. We just want to make sure that we're, you know,
historical. I can't believe it came out that long ago. It does not feel like that. Jeez.
Well, we'll rewatch it, man, and we'll talk about it for the next one.
That was before I had kids. What's happening? All right. Well, thank you all for listening. Michael, thank you for doing the research and guiding us through that. And
this is
always fun. And I have some ideas. I have some ideas for some one-offs, and I have some ideas for our next mini series that may hook into. We always love when mini series lead into other mini series or other episodes. So I have an idea for our next mini series I have not told you about yet, but
okay, great.
But we'll get into it. And cool. So here's I don't want to stop talking about Disney stuff, but I think we have to because we're at the hour mark and we need to be done. So till the next episode, thank you everybody for listening, and here's hoping that our goofy little podcast helps you add a little more mouse to, you know, your week or your nights or your drives or whatever you're doing. And for those of you who are returning to work at Disneyland, good luck. I hope everybody is nice to you. I hope that it is laid back as much as possible, and that
magical.
We'll be able to come visit you soon.
That's right. All right, guys. TTYL.
What is it? I got it. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.